an older preacher giving an acrostic of the word victory and talks about how we can have victory in our Christian lives. So we're going to go review the few points, and we're going to go over R and Y this morning. But the theme verse for the study is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Christian lives are supposed to be victorious ones. So many times Christians are living very defeated Christian lives. So they don't seem like they're having any type of victory over sin, victory over their feelings and their attitudes. And so there is seven different thoughts here. And once again, some of them overlap a little bit, but seven different letters, seven different things I think that can be a help to you. So we'll look through the first five very quickly. First of all is be vigilant or vigilantly guard against sin. And we talked about the importance of being alertful, being watchful, talking about especially to avoid danger. And we talked about how a person is vigilant in certain areas, certain times. And when it comes to our sin, it's something we should be vigilant against. The Bible tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the amazing thing is, we'll be vigilant when it comes to some type of dangerous area, maybe around our house or at our work. We'll take extra precautions, but when it comes to our sin in our lives and the devil, many times we're not very vigilant about it. And not only is it against the devil, but against our own weaknesses. Most of us would know what a weakness that we have is, something that we've struggled with. So because of that, that's something that I feel like if we recognize what our weaknesses are, that if we keep our heart with all diligence, we're going to have a lot more chance to have victory, because that's what we're talking about, is having victory. I told you this one was kind of new to me, but it makes some sense there if we imagine the consequence. If we consider, if we continue on down the same road, where we are going to end up and how things are going to be, I tell you, that could change the way we look at things. Some people that are in prison, that they would have thought, hey, if I knew this was going to happen, I would have never done it. Some alcoholics that have lost their families, if I knew that was going to happen, I would have never taken that first drink and things like that. So imagine the consequences. And there's some biblical things here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Talked about how we're going to sow what we reap. So when we're considering what we're going to reap, that means how we're going to sow. And even Moses, he looked at it and he says, okay, I could stay in Egypt and be maybe the next pharaoh, or at least high up. He said, but by imagining what's going to happen over, I'd rather choose to suffer affliction with God's people. C was cry out to God. We need to learn to cry out to him. We need his help. It's not just some meager attempt of serving him, but instead it is a full-fledged crying out to God, like we learned about in the book of Judges there, when every time they cried out and they repented, God would help them. The T is take thoughts captive. We talked about that last week, how we're supposed to bring every thought and bring it captive. We talked about sometimes those little kids that are running around as maybe a two-year-old, and you want them to come and they run the other way, you grab them and you make it captive. And that's what we want to do with our thoughts. So, you know, when they're going the wrong way or you're thinking about the wrong thing, take it captive. And I don't know if any of you thought about that four-second challenge there, not to think about anything that's wrong for longer than 4 seconds, to capture it and bring it back out in your mind. That's something that's, if you can keep those thoughts uncaptive and not sit there and dwell on them, it's before it becomes sin. O is observe the omnipresence of God. And this is probably one of my favorite ones. If we would live consciously in the presence of God, realizing that he sees everything we do and care about what he sees, man, it could change the way we live our lives. We could truly have victory if we realize. And we gave the illustration, somebody you really, truly respected, if you took them with you. And if they were with you all the time, you know, how you would change the way you live. Maybe not say certain things. Maybe not act certain ways. Maybe not dress certain ways. Maybe not listen to certain things, watch certain things. I told you last week there's times in my life that there are certain things I wouldn't do around my mom. Number one is because I respect her. Number two is because I'm fearful of her sometimes. So she might tell my dad, and my dad would really get on me. So those are different. The five different things we're going to look at. The last two this morning are, once again, these are all just practical things that helped me as I was reading, studying. So I just want to share a couple more. Run from sin. Run from sin. And I've heard preachers most of my life talk about resisting sin, which is right, which is true. That's what we should preach about, is that we should resist the sin. It's a biblical thing. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And before we go past that verse, I'd be amiss not to tell you, don't forget those first two words. You know, there's people, I'm resisting the devil, I'm resisting the devil. It starts by submitting yourselves to him. You submit yourselves to the Lord first, above and for else. Because if you don't submit yourselves, therefore, to God, you can try resisting the devil, but it ain't going to work. It begins with saying, I'm going to submit and give myself over to the Lord first and foremost. And then when the devil comes attempting, when the devil comes talking, then when the devil starts causing problems and issues, then I'm going to be able to resist him. And the Bible says he will flee from you. And I think that's a really cool thought there, to watch the devil turning and running. I don't know about you, but that doesn't happen all the time in my life. Sometimes it seems like he's there and it's always a burden overbearing. But the Bible says if we will resist from him, if we will submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It means that the devil will actually take off and go the other way. But that's not the thought of running from your sin. The thought of running from your sins is getting rid of it. And the thought of running from your sins is avoiding temptation altogether. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, if you're there, verses 13 through 15. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Now, so what is the Bible saying? Listen to his commands. What it says is, it says, avoid sin. Pass not by sin, turn from sin, pass away from sin. It's not getting as close as you can to sin without actually sinning. And there's some people who have that mindset. Okay, let me see how far I can push a rule to get there. And I don't know about you, you ever dealt with kids before, you know, that sometimes they'll do that. You know, you don't go any farther, and they'll just keep on nudging a little and little and little. But the thing about it is, we like to talk about kids and teenagers, but in all reality, adults are just as bad at most of those things. They like to push it and push the limits there. And the Bible's saying, hey, don't just even mess with it. Look what it says here. It says, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by from it. Turn from it. Pass away. And these are directives that are saying, when you run from sin, you need to run to the scriptures. Meditate on truth. Grab a hold of verses we've been talking about. If you want to have victorious Christian living, you're going to have to take those evil thoughts and replace it with something else. Music is a wonderful, good music, good gospel music, good godly music or something that you can replace with the temptation. Considering a verse, especially something that might tempt you in a certain area, let it sink into your heart. Run to the Lord. Ask him for help, as we talked about. Look for direction and strength to give victory over it. Remember in the model prayer, Jesus says, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory. We'll never have victory in our Christian lives if we keep on messing around with sin. If we keep on saying, okay, let me see how close I can get to it. True victory is found when we see sin for what it is, wickedness and evil, and we take off the other way. Last week, we looked a little bit about the omnipresence of God and talked about Joseph's story and looked at how Joseph, he said, I can't do this great wickedness or this great sin to my God. You know, he says, yeah, I see Potiphar, I understand you, I can't do that to him. But he says, that's not the most important thing. I can't do this to God. And hopefully this past week, you've taken it a few times and thought about it and said, okay, I can't do this sin against God. But what did Joseph do? He left his clothing or his garment in Potiphar, you know, there, and he took off. He ran from it. He fled. He didn't want anything a part of it. He ran away from it. So think about it. This is foundational. If there's things in your life that they're going to be like running, you say, Pastor, what do you mean running from sin? Well, if there's certain things you struggle with, then get rid of them in your life. If you can't handle having the internet on your phone, and get rid of it. It'll get rid of the internet. If you can't handle watching certain things on TV, get rid of the TV for periods of time in your life. Things in your life that you're setting up protective things. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, there's different programs that will give you access. Called, one of them is Covenant Eyes. I know Mr. Gregor knows a little bit about having a system and an account where you send everything you've looked at on the internet to somebody else for that past week. So why would you do that? Well, it's because of the fact that, hey, if I know someone else is going to be watching me, then I might not look at something. You know, it's we have me and my thing that's called Covenant Eyes, which is something similar, that it's sent there and my wife sees everything me or my boys looked at every single, it has the access to see it every single week. And it costs a little bit, but it holds somebody accountable. And there, you know, so, as I mentioned before, some people have this internet issue, and they never their internet is only in their computer that's out front. Now we have things like tablets, and we have phones, and we have all this type of stuff. But it's amazing how some people think they can give a phone to a teenager and think, hey, they're not going to do anything wrong with it. That's ridiculous. It's like giving them pornography right there if they want to, and letting them text whatever and whoever they want. That's a dangerous thing. So there's safeguards that need to be set up. So what are you doing? You're foreseeing the evil like the prudent man does in the book of Proverbs, and he's hiding himself from it. He's getting away from it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And these seem like they might be a little bit over the top, but if you got CDs in your life that you shouldn't be listening to certain music, what did they used to tell teenagers to do? When I was a teenager going to a church like this, they would preach, burn those CDs. And you know what? Sometimes that's what needs to happen, because it's something or it's wrong and evil. And it's running from sin, running from things that are, certain radio stations. Like I said, there's different things that are going to be a struggle for others, but might not be a struggle for me. Some things that might be a struggle for me that might not be a struggle for you. There's different ways to get that stuff out of your life, and it's important. If we want to have victory, once again, if you're truly going to have victory, you're going to have to learn, my sin is something that's holding me back. My sin has been nailed to the cross. Yes, we have forgiveness, and we have victory through what Jesus Christ. He's paid that sin debt already. I'm going to let the flesh wear me down. I'm not going to hold to it. Instead, I'm going to run away from it. Another way we run from our sin is to avoid people in situations that draw us into sin. Avoid people in situations that draw us into sin. If you go back to this verse, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked. There are certain people that if you're around, they're going to cause you to sin, then avoid them. And you say, Pastor, that's not being very Christian-like or Christ-like. I'm not saying that you have to be rude to them. Sometimes people are rude to others. That's not what I'm saying. And many times, if it's a lost person, it's our desire to try to win them to Christ, but you're not going to develop a really close, intimate relationship with that person because they don't think the same way as we do in spiritual things. Unfortunately, sometimes with Christians, some Christians aren't living and doing what's right, and because of that, they will even draw you back. If you have a problem with gossip and you know somebody who's a gossip, encourage them with that. You say, you know what, I don't think we should be talking about these things, and if they don't want to change and you don't want to be a gossip, don't talk with them a long period of time. So that seems a little bit over the top. You're trying to run from sin. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. That sounds like it's a little bit over the top, but that is what the scripture says. If there are friends who have a way of pulling us into some type of sin, which you're trying to have victory, don't spend expended time with them. If there are places where you know you will likely be tempted or your resistance to temptation will be lower, just don't go to those places. There are certain places I don't feel comfortable being around. I know some of you guys know this, and I don't like going to the beach when people are there that are not dressed what I would consider appropriately. Why is that? It's because there's a temptation there, and I don't like taking my sons there. I know some of you say, oh, that's a little bit too much. I'm trying to run from temptation, and I'm trying to do something that's not going to put anything that's wicked before my eyes. Before temptation comes, run from it, just like Joseph did. Think about it, and don't let it overcome you, or don't succumb to it. Last but not least, we've looked at six different things, and the last one is going to be something that you say, okay, Pastor, what does that mean? Yield to the Spirit. Now, so it all comes down to this. You can't really do any of these six things on your own. So why did you just teach it for the last few weeks? More than anything else, we must learn to yield to the Spirit. We cannot do these things on our own. We need God's help. The devil is too powerful for us. We need to yield to him. All the points we discussed are too difficult for you and me to do alone. So what do? Do we just put the books down and say, forget about it, and admit that we're going to be defeated? The answer is no. The final key to victory is giving ourselves over to what the Holy Spirit wants for us. You know, one of the things we should pray is to be led of the Holy Spirit. We went through those 60 minutes of praying. We looked at those different things. One of the things in spot number four was to be a Spirit-led person. We need to be led of the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that's going to help us to get victory over this temptation. We must yield to him. I think one of the greatest verses when it comes to sanctification is found in Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, we say, okay, I'm going to mortify the deeds of the body. I'm going to mortify this flesh. It doesn't say that we're going to do it on our own. What does it say? It says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. When we live after the flesh, that is when we try to accomplish anything, even good things in our own strength, we're going to fail, at least spiritually wise. But if we go through the Holy Spirit and live for the Lord, we can have victory. I remember hearing a story about a pastor who was out there and was working out in his yard, and he had a six-year-old son sitting on the front porch and wanted to help him. You know, when they're six or seven, they want to help. When they're 16 or 17, they're too tired to help. But at 6 years old, this boy was out there, and he was watching his dad use the edger. I guess that's a word that takes it. He says, use the edger, and the son said, Dad, let me use it. And the dad says, oh, no, it's too dangerous for a little guy like you. And the little boy was sad, went and sat in the front porch. He says, look at the sparks. You can't use that. Got the weed eater out. He went and he weeded it around, and the boy wanted it again. He wanted to help. And he went out there, and he was trying to help and trying. And Dad said, no, this is too dangerous. Got the lawnmower out. And guess what? Dad said it was too dangerous again. He got in the, and he could see he wanted to spend time with his son. It was Saturday. He had to do his chores. He wanted his son to help him, but he was just too young. Well, he went in there, and he saw the blower sitting there. So he went and got the blower out. He sat it on the driveway. He says, son, I finally got something you can help me with. And the little boy's really excited. And so he's like, okay. He says, you can go ahead and blow off the driveway. Dad goes back in to clean off the weed eater and clean off the lawnmower and all those other things. He doesn't hear the blower running. And he goes back out, and he sees his son down on all fours blowing the driveway with his mouth. Ah, that's pretty rough, isn't it? Now, that's how much you're going to accomplish on your own when it comes to fighting the Lord, fighting sin. You're going to be blowing and blowing and blowing, but you're not going to accomplish very much. Now, we think that's silly, but at the same time, even though we wouldn't blow the driveway off their mouths, but when it comes to spiritual things, we essentially do the same thing. We sit there, oh, I want it, I want, I want, I want, but we do it through our own power and our own strength. We do it through our own ability instead of without the Lord. Because if we do things without the Lord, it's futile as trying to blow off a driveway with our mouths instead of using the blower. See, God never intended for us to live the Christian life in our own strength. He wants us to give us his strength so that we can live the Christian life through him. And if you go back to this verse here, it says, take hold fast an instruction, let her not go, keep her. You know, he gives us instruction, he gives us wisdom, he gives us things that we're supposed to do, and it comes to the point is, am I going to yield to the Holy Spirit of God? We think, you know what, I can handle that pathway to wickedness a little bit. I can handle a little bit of the evil men. I can handle, you know, I can pass by that. I can look at those things, but are we yielding to him in his way? Yeah, we fail after a while. We might be able to handle on things for days or weeks or months. I don't know how many of you guys have ever done a diet before. I do those. I do them too many times too often because I stop and I start. And for a little while, I do great, and then I want to stop. And thankfully, my sin is not the same thing. I don't have to depend on myself. With my diet, obviously God can help me with that. But when it comes to spiritual things, the Holy Spirit of God is there to give me leadership and give me direction and give me guidance. He's there as I yield to the Spirit. He is there to give me what I need to mortify the deeds of the body. I can be vigilant. I can imagine the consequences. I can cry out to God. I can take my thoughts captive. I can observe the omnipresence of God. I can run from sin. But if I'm not willing to yield, so when I do all these things, this is active. I'm going to be vigilant about something. I'm going to imagine something. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to take my call. But if I do not yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to really matter. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart and gives me wisdom and gives me guidance about what I should and should not do, that is when I'm going to be successful. It's when we hear from God and let God lead us through his instruction and through his word, but we must let the Holy Spirit do the work for us. We must depend upon him. You say, Pastor, I haven't heard you talk about God speaking to you. You talk about God's leadership. God wants to speak to your heart. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you instruction. He wants to give you leadership. He has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. And so often, It is so crucial that we grasp this answer and we grasp this part that I must learn to yield to the Spirit of God. When temptation comes tomorrow, I must learn to yield. We must understand that the struggle for sin is real in our lives. And when we realize that we're going to struggle, we must learn to give it over to Him. Admit to Him that we're not sure how to get victory. Admit to Him when we're sinning and we're struggling and we have issues with our pride or issues with anger or issues with other things in our life that maybe we've had for years, and say, Lord, I want help. I need wisdom. I need guidance. Give it over to Him. Victory requires a step of faith. I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and I was talking to her, and we were going over this, this, and this. And she says, well, I believe all those things, but that's not how I feel. I said, that means you don't have faith then. So if you truly believe these things and you're allowing your feelings to tell you something different and that dictate how you live your life, you're not yielding to the truths that are found in the Bible. You're not letting the Holy Spirit try to console. She was upset. She was overwhelmed. She was struggling with stuff. And emotions were sometimes ladies can be emotional, right? Sometimes men can be emotional. Sometimes teenage girls can be really emotional. Sometimes we can all be emotional, but that's... It didn't feel that way. Well, is it contrary to what the Word of God says? Because God was trying to be a help and trying to be an encouragement, but she wasn't willing to yield to what the Spirit was trying to say. She wasn't trying to yield to the faith that she says she has. Yes, I know that. And I see that. It just doesn't. That's where faith is. It's the evidence of things not seen. As you take a step of faith, it's time to get busy serving the Lord. When temptation comes, tell the Lord, God, here's the temptation. Will you take this from me? Lord, I want you to show me what the next step is. And be willing to yield to that spiritual step. Sometimes when you go and say, okay, God, I'm being tempted with this thing. I really want to do this. Tell me what you want me to do. And He'll tell you to get rid of it. He'll tell you to go the other way. Sometimes He'll tell you something you don't want to do, which will be something like running from the sin. But it's whether we truly, by faith, say, okay, it is time to turn the TV off. It is time to get in my Bible and read it. It is time to try to memorize or pray for our lost loved one. Whatever He prompts us to do, we must learn to be faithful to Him. But it requires a willingness to submit to Him. Some people don't like submission. I haven't met a lot of people that do like submission. But there are some people who just refuse to submit to certain things. But when we're asking Him for strength and help, we must learn to let Him prompt us and lead us. I tell you, sometimes it's singing a hymn. Sometimes it is walking away or turning something off that I really want to watch. Sometimes it means not being participating in something that's causing me to do. You know, there are certain things that will help us have victory, but it requires a submission to the Holy Spirit of God. It requires that through the Spirit, we allow the Spirit to lead and direct us. We spoke last Sunday morning in Proverbs chapter 3, and we talked about leaning not into our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And we looked at, first thing you got to do is got to trust in the Lord. And the second thing you got to do is with all your heart. And then we went through all those things, and then He's going to direct your path. But we had to learn to submit and yield to that path. This requires a willingness to submit to Him. God did not save us to live a defeated Christian life. God's desire for us is to have victory. So those are your seven letters, and victory is for you. Now, you say, Pastor, it doesn't work. I've been trying these five things the last few weeks. I get victory for a little while, but the sin keeps on coming back and keeps on coming back and it keeps on coming back, and it's a struggle sometimes. And I'm glad the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this portion of Scripture, because it's the way I feel many times. It says, For the good that I would, I do not. Those things that I know I should be doing, and it's the good that I would do, and I wake up in the morning and I'm excited. I'm going to serve the Lord today. I'm going to do everything that's right. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do my best not to sin. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to do all these things. I don't know about you. In the morning time, I wake up and I'm super Christian. It lasts for a minute or maybe 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And I get up and I'm like, okay, yeah, the flesh is still here. And it's still a struggle. And he says, the things that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, those things I would never imagine even considering, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me? I know that seems a little confusing of all those I do and I do not, but what he's saying is, I have a desire to do what's right, but many times I'm not doing that. But those things I wish I did not do, Those are the things I end up doing, but it's not me, but the sin that dwelleth me. And he says, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Every time I try to do what's right and I try to do what's good, there's something there that is evil that's there and trying to stop me. You're not abnormal. You're not weird. It's the battle of the Christian faith that we have. Once again, you're a believer. You're not earning your way to salvation. You're not working your way to salvation. But once you're saved, it is a spiritual battle. He tells us, put on the whole armor of God. We talk about being vigilant. We talked about looking at it as a war and a battle. And so it is something that is truth that's there, that it is a battle. And that, yeah, I wish I had somebody come and tell me on a Wednesday night, yeah, the devil won the battle Sunday morning. I didn't come. It was like the flood last week with all that rain that we had Sunday morning. Hardly anybody came to church. I went out and looked out this morning, and it was pouring down again because right before Sunday school or right when the guys were singing and doing prayer requests, it was pouring down outside. And I was like, oh, what a bummer. But you know what? God's the one in control of all that. And I don't let the, and they said, I wanted to come to church, but I let the devil win the battle that time. And they said it, you know, kind of, they were being sincere. And we say that sometimes, but it's the truth, is that we gave in. We know we should have been doing something different, but instead we gave in. That's what he's saying. When I go to do something that's good, when I go to give out that gospel tract, when I go to love my wife or submit to my husband, when I go to raise my children the way God, there's always something there that's fighting me and fighting me and fighting me. That's normal Christianity. But the normal part is you can have victory. Most of us don't do that. Most of us are not normal Christians in the idea that we do things according to what the Bible tells us to do, but instead, we're doing things according to what we want to do, and then we don't have the victory God wants us to. A couple other verses as in between those verses. Listen to what it says in verse 22. It says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members." He says, look, I have delight in the law. And most of us say, yeah, of course we love the Bible. And that's the inward man feeding. But I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And it's a constant struggle. Why can't I have victory? Who's going to deliver me? And here's the last verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So who can we have victory through? It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of what he did on the cross, we have victory. We looked at Romans chapter 6 a little bit in this study, and we are not servants of sin. We do not have to serve that sin. We can have victory. We can have that victory he talks about us having that we looked at the beginning, and the first one that's there is through Jesus Christ. But thanks be God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have victory. So this week, what do we learn? First thing is to run from sin. Don't keep on coddling it. Don't keep on, you know, some people say my pet sin, and they sit there and they're, oh, this is okay. It's not a big deal. The Bible says if you want to have victory, you need to run from it. Next thing is to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. You don't know what he might lead you to do or direct you to do, but you can yield to him. Some helpful applications here. About when it comes to when you're, maybe write down a little bit in a journal, and it's a guy's journal, whatever you want to call it. You know, this is when I was tempted to sin, and this is how I ran from it. This is how I was tempted to sin, and this is how the Holy Spirit gave me help of how to respond to it. Maybe list a couple of weapons. Write down some verses. Maybe write down a couple of songs. Have things ready for yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit for in those 4 seconds. Running from sin, you know, this is a sin that God gave. This is a sin that I struggle with. This is how I had victory over it. This is what the Holy Spirit told me to do. There are things we can do to set things aside. Maybe this week, look at different areas, different places. One thing that helped me was different times when I struggled the most when it comes to sin. You say, Pastor, that sounds foolish. If you want to have victory, where do you struggle the most? Some people do it, like I said, in the first morning time when I get up. I like to get up early to study, and sometimes there's a few minutes there that, you know, there's a struggle. Back to bed. Do I want to go look at what happened in news, or want to go look at what happened in the sports before I get in my Bible? Because if I start looking at other things like emails, news, and sports, you know what happens? the Bible, maybe you get a few minutes at the end, but it's not the priority it should be. And if I recognize and I sit and consider, these are areas where I struggled. It was at this time, at this location, with that device, with this problem that I sinned, then what can I learn to do better next time? We're not talking about just being average in your Christian life. We're talking about getting victory over sins that maybe we struggle with for years and upon years upon years. So when did I get angry? What helped me get angry? Was there a certain person? Was there a certain stipulation? Was there a certain circumstance? I write down these things and I look about it and I go to the Lord, God, I'm struggling here. What do you want me to do? Get up earlier. Don't hang around with that person. Get rid of this in your life. That's really, truly fighting the battle. That's where you can have victory over it. Once again, it's going to the Lord and saying, I want to mortify my deeds of my flesh. I want to get rid of those things. I want to kill them. But that's through the Spirit. So run from sin. Don't play with it. Yield to the Spirit of God. You say, that sounds foolish. Well, have you been having victory in your Christian life? Is there certain things that you still struggle with that you've been struggling with for years? That's not the way God designed it. Just because your friends might say it's okay, don't worry about it, that's not the biblical way that God says you can avoid it. You don't pass by it. You can have victory there. Are we going to have faith in God? Are we going to have faith in our feelings? It's important to understand. To be victorious means to run from sin, but also to yield to the Spirit. Let's have a word of prayer.